Good evening, everyone. God bless you. What a joy to be together. We worship God. We reverence God this evening as we seek His will, His moving, His work in each of our lives. We desire to grow in grace. And God has given us a standard by which we can grow in Him. You know, I was thinking today as we were here and Brother Allen was speaking to us. You remember how he was saying how he likes to read and he got a book on Hudson Taylor and he really enjoyed it. And then he found out there was a 2-volume set and he got that. And then he found out there was a 7-volume set. And so he got that because he likes the details. And so I was just thinking, you know, if Brother Allen would share with us a message on the life of Hudson Taylor, he wouldn't be able to tell us everything that he knew. He would have to narrow it down and just give us some highlights to give us an accurate picture of who he was so that we could have understanding of his life. And I was just thinking about the God of heaven. I was thinking that the eternal God knows all things. Our mind can't even comprehend all that God knows. But he's taken the few things. He's taken a few highlights. He's given us a few details. He's given us the things that we need to know to get an accurate picture of this life and of the life to come. He's narrowed it down, but we can study His Word. I appreciate what Brother John D. Martin, sometimes how he describes the commandments of God. It's just God speaking. If you knew everything that I know, this is what you would do. And so we have that commandment from the Lord. We don't have to know everything behind it to understand what is best for us. We accept it and we receive it by faith in the living God who cares greatly for each one of us. We desire this evening, we were asked to bring salvation, bring a message of salvation. God knows the heart of each one here, and we tremble when we think of eternity and those who turn away from the living God in this life. So we have a message this evening that we would like to share. And again, we're not going to be able to share all the details. We don't know all the details, but we want to take a look at some of the insights that God has given us. This subject we have this evening is a very sobering subject. I believe it's one that should increase our fear of God. I believe it's one that is very accurate and it's very real. I want to talk to us this evening about hell. I want to talk to us about eternal damnation, eternal judgment, and the lake of fire. And I want to do it very, very carefully. We don't have complete understanding, but we have the highlights that the Lord Jesus has brought down, and we need to believe God. I want to do it tonight in trembling and much fear. I don't want to mishandle this sacred subject before a holy God. I want to deal with it very accurately. And the only way I know to do that is to approach this thing from Scripture. From the Word of God. It's not our desire to scare anyone this evening. You know, Paul said, I think about it one time when he said, I write not these things to shame you or to upset you. And I'm going to add, I write not these things to scare you. But as beloved sons, I warn you. He wanted us to have this information. And I believe this is a subject that needs to be taught. Why does this subject need to be taught? I believe it's because Jesus taught it. He brought it up on a regular basis. Jesus was always teaching about it. It's not like it was his theme, but he was always referring to it. It was always there as a reality, warning about it. I mean, there's many scriptures. When he talked about it, he said, it's better to pluck out your eye than to enter into hell and eternal condemnation with two eyes. And he said it about your feet. And he said it about our hands. And he was talking, many times he referred to where the worm dieth not and where the fire is not quenched. He referred to sometimes speaking to the Pharisees. He made a statement. How can you escape the damnation of hell? In other words, wake up. Take inventory of where you are. He even gave some very sobering warnings. There's a place where he even said, if we call our brother, now this is to believers, amen? If we call our brother a fool, you're in danger of hellfire. He spoke to the people of Capernaum, and he told them that they were going to be brought down to hell. They were lifted up in pride, and they were going to be brought down to hell. He was speaking often of eternal judgment and condemnation. And not again that that was his theme. It's not that he was using that to just throw that thing around, but it's reality. And it's a concept, it's a reality that we need to have present in our heart, I believe, when we make the choices that are before us in life to make. That we would make choices in light of eternity. Because I just remember Brother John D. was there last week, all week with us, teaching the youth. And one thing he said, he grew up under the teaching of his father. And he said one thing his father taught him is, son, you can make any choice you want to. You can choose anything you want. But you cannot choose the consequence. And that is so profound. God has given us liberty. We are agents of free choice. But we cannot choose the consequence. That has been established by an eternal God. So Jesus taught this. His disciples taught it. And that means he taught it to them. It comes out in their teaching. We see it through the scriptures. You know, if God spared not the angels that sinned, but brought them down to hell forever. I mean, this principle is just there. The apostles of Christ, they were moved by it. They were motivated by it. What did the apostle Paul say? He said, knowing the terror of the Lord. What is that? But he knew what it was, and because of it, he said, we persuade men. It's a very sobering subject. It's a subject of warning, and I don't believe that it's a subject to just throw around. Jesus didn't throw this thing around. The apostles didn't throw this thing around. They were burdened by it. And they knew that it was real. They knew that it was eternal punishment. It was interesting to me. I think there's a witness somewhere in the heart of man that there's a reality to this thing. Brother John D. answers a lot of those phone calls that come in off of the billboard ministry. And he just mentioned to me the other day, he said, I believe 80% of the phone calls that come in are because of the billboard on hell. The rest of the billboards bring in the rest of the phone calls. But that one brings them in. And it's because there's some kind of witness. It's almost like everyone has at least a sneaking hunch that there is truth in this eternal judgment. And that means there's at least a sneaking hunch in every heart that there is a God. And He's a righteous God. And there is a consequence when we turn away from Him. So this is not just a warning, I believe, to just throw around. I believe this is a very sacred subject. I believe this subject can teach us something about God. The subject itself, eternal damnation, can teach us something about the holiness of God and about the seriousness of sin. Eternal judgment should teach us how serious sin really is. And you know, we live in a world, we rub shoulders with sin every day, do we not? I mean, we know people that are divorced and remarried. We almost accept that thing. We try to figure out how that thing's okay. We hear testimonies come out of that situation, and it can almost get confusing. We know people that have rebellion in their life. We know people that can't bow. They can't submit. We're around covetousness all the time. And these sins are big things with God. We're around immodesty. We see it every day. You can't even go to town in the summertime without having the principle established in your heart to look the other way. Just because sin is everywhere. And sometimes we forget how this thing crosses the holiness of our God. And when we understand that judgment and the consequence is eternal, we take a new look at this thing. We begin to realize this thing is abominable before a holy God and that they have consequences. Now, brothers and sisters, we know that sin has its consequences in this life. It does. But it has even more consequences in the life to come. And if you think sin has its consequences in this life, I just remind you, sin has no consequences at all in this life compared to the consequences that it has in the life to come for all eternity. So we can choose whatever we want. God gave us the liberty of choice, but we cannot choose our consequences. You can choose to jump off the cliff if that's what you want, but you cannot choose the consequences. And every choice we make is just as clear as that one. It has consequences. There are people who feel like hell for all eternity, but even hell at all is unfair. There are people who don't even believe in hell because they say it's not consistent with the righteousness of God or with the love of God. But I want us to know this evening that there is nothing unfair. There is nothing unholy about hell or the lake of fire for all eternity concerning the righteousness of God or the holiness of God or the love of God. What this thing should do is draw us to a deeper understanding of how bad sin is and how righteous God is. And what sin cost heaven through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want to read a few verses here, just verses concerning the righteousness of God, which are, you know, conflicting with what many people believe, that He's a God of love. He would never do this. But let's just consider the Word of God here. God who knows all things. God who just pulled back the veil a little and gave us the Word of God, gave us a few insights. Let's see what He says. It says, I'll just read it to you here in Revelation, that the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shall be, because Thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and Thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are Thy judgments. I want to read another passage, if I can, here in 2 Thessalonians. It goes this way. We ourselves, Paul says, glory in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I just want to paint a picture this evening that Jesus Christ our Lord, the living Son of God who came with a burden for lost people and died, gave His life, shed His blood. We turn away from that sacrifice. I tell you, when He comes again with His mighty angels in flaming fire, He's going to be taking vengeance on them that know not God. And it's the righteousness of God that does it. It's a call to holiness, I believe. So let's take a look at this subject. This subject is a warning from the Word of God. This subject is a warning from the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. Most of these warnings we're going to look at are written in red. These are warnings for the fearful and the unbelieving. as well as those who turn away in rebellion. And it's a sobering motivation for the child of God. And I realize tonight, I'm just going to acknowledge here, I know that there's many different Greek words and there's different subjects like Hades and Gehenna and the grave and the place of the dead and the valley of Hinnom and as well as the lake of fire. But Josh, I'm just going to tell you tonight, I'm not going to focus on those things because Revelation makes it very clear that death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire. And Jesus makes it very clear that hell itself is full of flames and torment. So tonight, whether I say hell or the lake of fire or just refer to eternal punishment, I'm just going to kind of lump it together this evening because it all takes you eventually to the same place. So I would like to begin tonight by showing you a video of hell. Would like to do that. That would probably be the best sermon that could be preached. And you can say, wait a minute, Brother Dale. Let's not be that graphic. You can preach on it, but let's just shut off the video. And this is part of a call to faith. There is a point where the warnings, the promises of God become reality. And at that point, we can't shut off the graphics. They become real. Now, I acknowledge tonight I cannot show you a video. If I could, everyone here would be so glad when it was over. There are parts of it, maybe all of it, where you would just simply have to close your eyes and look the other way because we couldn't take it. Think about it. We know that's right. We'd have to close our ears because we couldn't take it. And I don't even want to be too graphic in the descriptions, but I do want to quote Scripture. I do want to present what the Lord Jesus Christ presented as a warning. He talked about the flames of hell. And He talked about people in those flames. People in the fire. He spoke about fire and brimstone. He spoke about the despair. The apostle spoke about the darkness of hell. And so we're not making any of this up. We're just quoting the Lord Jesus. We're quoting the Word of God. Do you know what the Word of God says about how black and how dark hell is? It says in Jude verse 13, it speaks of the blackness of darkness forever. Think of it. No light. The blackness of darkness forever. Think about the cries. Think about the wailing, the torment, the weeping and gnashing of teeth. We're just quoting the Lord here. Have you ever done that? Have you ever pictured what that might be? We know it will be there. And I just want to remind us this evening that for those in hell, the video is never over. And it's not a video. You cannot close your eyes. You cannot turn your head away. You cannot turn away your ears. You cannot faint and pass out because the pain is too great. You know, in this life, that's the mercy of God. He's made our body in such a way so that if there's too much pain, if we can't take it, if the shock is too great, we pass out. That's the mercy of God. There's no such mercy in hell. We're going to take a look at that this evening for all eternity. So picture this terrible place. It's not wrong. I don't think it's good for our mind to dwell there. But it's good to refer to it. It's good to think about it. And when you think about it, don't just think about the torment. Think about how serious sin must be. Think about how holy the blood of Christ, the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus is that can keep us from this place of torment. Think about the power of the witness of this message going out to a lost and a dying world where this is all they have before them. This can be a motivator for good in all the choices of life that we make. This thoughts of this kind of eternity can make some things that seem so big to us now all of a sudden seem so little. Have you ever experienced that? It can take something that seems so hard, so difficult, so almost impossible, all of a sudden seems so easy. You know, sometimes it's so hard to forgive someone. Well, just it's not wrong to just let your mind go here. And all of a sudden, I can forgive. I don't even want them to experience this. All of a sudden, I can pray for them, that they can forgive me, and that we could walk together with a burdened, holy heart praying for others. And so I want to encourage us to make our choices in light of eternity. That's the motive that we have in bringing this message. And I cannot show you a video this evening, but I can tell you a story. It's a story that Jesus told, that Jesus taught. And I believe we have it here with us tonight almost exactly the way He told it. Let's turn to Luke chapter 16. We'll just spend a little time here in this passage of Scripture. Luke chapter 16. I want to begin looking here at verse 17. You know, it's interesting. Sometimes Jesus teaches a principle or a story, a parable, and we go there and we look at that thing. But sometimes it's good to look at just a few things that He says right before He tells His parable. It's almost like He's giving you an insight of something that He's thinking of that motivates Him to teach this parable. And here we have it in verse 17. One thing. And it says, "And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than for one tittle of the law to fail." And I think what Jesus is saying here is that there is no chance that what I'm saying is not so. We can write this thing down. Don't kid yourself. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will not pass away, Jesus said. So shall my word be. Amen. That goeth forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it will prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And so here we have a very sobering warning that it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one tittle of the law to fail. Do you know what a tittle is? The Bible talks about jots and tittle. Well, I want to tell you what the Greek says a tittle is. A tittle, it says, is the hook part of a letter. Here we have, you know, just a small r, the letter R. There's a tittle on this letter. It's this thing right here. It is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one tittle of the law to fail. I tell you tonight, there's not a chance that what the Lord teaches in this parable is not so. It is the Word of God. And He gives us that little insight here right before He gives us this parable. And then in verse 18, this is very interesting to me. He gives us another little insight here before we begin learning from what the Lord had to teach. And this is part of what He was teaching. This little comment here He makes on adultery and divorce and remarriage is completely out of context. He's not talking about it. It's not His subject. It's not what He had on His heart. But when He's ready to teach this parable, it's like this thing comes into His mind. And so I think God wants us to take note here that disobedience in this area just brings us to the reason He teaches this parable on hell. Let's read verse 18. "Whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another committeth adultery. And whosoever marrieth her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery." Brothers and sisters, that's all around us. That's on every hand. But this act of disobedience, this choice that so many people make, brings on eternal judgment. We can make any choice we want to. We can make any comment to make it look as good as we want to. But this choice we make stands before a holy God. I remember when we lived in California, we lived there across the road from a big church, a successful church. This thing was growing. There's people left our church to go to this church. I mean, that thing was moving out. It was like a Green Bay tree spreading its branches. And the pastor was a 40-year-old bachelor. And he loved the Lord. And he was teaching the Word of God. And he met one day a divorced woman. And he married her. And he put out a 13 reasons. Irrefutably, how it was God's will that he married this woman who had been married before. And I'll just tell you, I'm not that good at many things. When I read that thing, it's convincing. I can't understand all the reasons. It looked providential that it came together. But God's will never cross His Word. I don't understand all those reasons that He gave, but I understand verse 18 here. And the bottom line is that when God has spoken, it requires obedience. Or there are consequences for all eternity. May we be faithful. I'm not even sure that I read those things. I'm just thinking about it now, but I think I did. I kind of forget them. But they were so convincing. That was an alarm. That was a warning to me. We never take the reasoning of man and lay down the Word of God. We believe God. So let's read this parable this evening, beginning in verse 19. We'll just read to the end of the chapter and we'll make some comments here. We'll study this little passage. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivedst thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send them to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. I want to just make a comment here on these last few verses here between Abraham and this rich man in hell. There was a cry here, send Lazarus to my brethren, that they also come not to this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him an interesting thing. He said, they have Moses and the prophets. And I'm going to translate that to us in our day. Brothers and sisters, we have the Word of God. We have teachers that stand before us and bring the Word of God by the Holy Spirit of God. We have that. And I thought before somewhat the same as this rich man in hell. But no, if we could just show a video of hell, if we could just send someone back from hell and let them stand up here and speak to us, I tell you, we'd believe. But the message is, no, you won't even believe then. If we can't believe the Word of God this evening, we won't believe even if we could see a video of hell. Even if one rose from the dead, we have the Word of God tonight. That's what we have. That's the warning to believe the Word of God which is before us. So I want to study this passage. There are some very clear things that we can learn in this passage of Scripture about life and about death and about hell. And the first thing that I want to look at that we can learn is that death is not the end. And here again, we need to believe God. We have the Word of God. Death is not the end. Look in verse 22. It says, "And it came to pass that the beggar Lazarus died." He died. But then he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom and he was comforted. I tell you, death wasn't the end for Lazarus. But let's keep reading. "The rich man also died and was buried. But in hell, he lifted up his eyes." Death is not the end. Many people believe that death is the end. They hope that death is the end. Even when they die, they want their body cremated. Isn't that amazing? What an escape from God. No, it doesn't work. It's not the end. This man died. It says so. He died and was buried. And there probably was a funeral. Don't you imagine? I imagine that his friends came and they gathered around and they probably said, "This is the end." And they probably spoke about different good things that this man had done. That's what we do at funerals. But I tell you, what you say at a funeral, what you hear at a funeral, has nothing to do with life after death. It's in God's hands. It doesn't matter what these people said at this man's funeral. In hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. We can learn a lot here about hell from the teaching of Jesus. First of all, this man is very much alive. This is after he died and was buried. But his soul is very much alive in hell. This is the teaching of the Lord Jesus. This man could see. He could feel. He was in torment. This man could think. His mind was clear. This man could reason. This man was trying to figure things out. "Send Lazarus to dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame." This man could remember. Whoa, he had a sharp memory. Look at the things he could remember. He knew Lazarus. He recognized him a long way off. He remembered very clearly his father's house. He remembered his five brethren. He knew how they were living. He knew that they were living just like he was. This man even knew Abraham. He'd never seen Abraham, but he knew Abraham. In other words, this man had had teaching. This man had been taught, and he remembered it. And I just want to challenge us here this evening, if there's anyone here tonight, and God forbid that this would ever be so, but if there's anyone here tonight who will end up in the torment of hell, you are going to remember these meetings. You're going to remember the things that you've been taught. When you can't forgive your brother, when you just can't lay that thing down, you will remember this life. Jesus makes it very clear that this man was very much alive in every way, but now he is alive for all eternity. And I want you to notice something else. This man has a body. He died and he was buried. And they committed his body back to the earth. But this man in hell had a body. He lifted up his eyes. That's his body. He wanted Lazarus to touch his tongue. That's his body. This man could talk. That's because he had a body. This man was in torment. He could feel. His body could feel. And I want to look here at verse 26. Jesus makes it very, very clear here that there is no way out of this place. And I want to make sure that we're just teaching here what the Lord Jesus Christ was teaching. I don't want to just draw some assumptions. But look at verse 26. Wouldn't you agree there's no way out of this place? And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. There's no way out of this place. And there's another very sobering lesson that the Lord would have us to learn here. And that is that there is no mercy in hell. The rich man pled for mercy. Father Abraham, have mercy on me. But there was no mercy. Not even a drop of water. Think of it. The answer was no. No mercy in hell. No second chance. No more opportunity. There is no way out of hell, out of the torment of this flame forever. This is the teaching of Jesus Christ, the merciful God, is teaching this. He's the loving Savior teaching this. He's the Redeemer. I believe tonight He's just trying to wake us up and let us know that today is the day of salvation. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. There's no more opportunity when we come to this place of torment. Mercy, opportunity, salvation is always on this side of eternity. You know, I always pictured it that when someone is cast into the lake of fire, someone like us, and when I say like us, yeah, I'm not referring to the people of God. I'm not referring to those who are covered by the blood, those who are saved to the uttermost. We, through Jesus Christ, don't have to experience this place. But when I say someone like us, I'm talking about someone who has sat here under the teachings of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I heard Brother Reuben Wicke this morning saying that the gospel, the good news of God's Word, is for the sinner, that there is salvation. But he made the comment, if you don't accept the offered terms of mercy, is it good news? No, it's not good news. It's bad news. And so anyone here who sits under this teaching and walks away, when they are cast into the lake of fire, and the Bible talks about this very thing, that people will be cast into the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. That's what it calls it. And we're going to read those passages, but I just want to throw in here too. Do you know what brimstone is? Brimstone is sulfur. If you look it up, it means sulfur. And sulfur, I believe, sulfur makes fire hot. Sulfur makes fire, you know, explode. Sulfur adds torment to the torment of fire. This is a horrible place. And I always pictured when someone is cast into the lake of fire, you know, there's just tremendous screaming and flailing and crying out and weeping and gnashing of teeth, and you just go hysterical. You just go crazy. And there may be that. I'm afraid there is. And I'm afraid it's for all eternity. But as I read this teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, I began to realize people in this place, they have a very clear mind in hell. They can think. The rich man in hell, he was sharp. He could reason. He had a good memory. He had good understanding. And people in hell, people in the lake of fire, I believe they're going to cry out. I do. But I think they're also going to think. I think they're going to reason. They're going to think somewhat the way they did here. They're going to think, I got to get out of this place. I mean, those things will come in, especially to someone who has been taught, someone who knew. And they're going to remember. And they're going to remember when they're here on the earth, they're just going to think, you know, when I was in a great strait, when I was in trouble, there was just sit down, just calm down, just think about this thing a minute. There's got to be a way out of here. There's always light at the end of the tunnel. There's got to be a way out of here. And so you literally, in that horrid place, bring your mind to look somewhere for light at the end of this tunnel. There has got to be light in this place somehow to get out of here. It's always been that way. and you search through the darkness, the blackness of darkness forever. You search through the flames. You look through the torment. You look for hope, and there is none. And you come to the place when you realize there is no light at the end of this tunnel, this horrid tunnel. There is no light at the end of this tunnel. There's no end to this place. This is for all eternity. And there comes a place where you cry out, "Oh God, have mercy on me. I repent. Oh God, I deserve this. I turned away from the Lord Jesus Christ. I sought my own way. I'm sorry, God. I repent. I'll do anything. Anything, God. Lord Jesus, I repent. Have mercy on me. Jesus Christ is Lord. I worship Him. I repent. Lord, save me. Help. Lord, have mercy on me." The Bible tells us that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's the subject here. That's the vengeance of hellfire. What you do with Jesus Christ. What you let Him do with you. And if it doesn't happen on this earth, on this side of eternity, it will happen somewhere. Maybe it will happen in hell. And I believe if the devil himself has knees, and if he has a tongue, it's going to happen to him too. Because every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So let's not be thinking that we're the exception. Let's not be thinking that we're not going to do that. You will bow. But this is the time of opportunity, when we can do it for salvation. And I'm not here tonight to teach that there are confessions in hell. But I believe that there's a sincere crying out in hell, especially for those who know and have been taught in this life. And I believe the crying out could be even more serious and more passionate, even with more zeal and more brokenness and more commitment and more desperation than the confessions of earth that brought salvation. And I've wondered about that thing. I've wondered about it. If the crying out, if the confessions I'm going to say from hell, from the lake of fire, are more passionate, if they're more broken and more desperate than the confessions of earth that did bring salvation, why are they not good enough to bring salvation then? I want to remind you tonight, from the teaching of Jesus, there is no mercy in hell. There is no salvation in hell. But I want to tell you tonight why I believe that there's no salvation in hell. Why no amount of desperation, why no amount of confession, why no amount of crying out in hell is good enough to bring salvation. I want to tell you why. And it's because you can see the flames. You can feel the torment. You are there. You have already stood before the great white throne before you get there. You've already seen the throne of God. You can see Lazarus afar off. It's all sight. Everything in hell is sight. You have complete understanding of that place. At that time, earth and heaven and earth have passed away. The earth doesn't have anything to offer you anymore. The body that you lived in, the flesh, is gone. It doesn't have any temptation to offer you anymore. It's all gone. It's all sight in hell. And I want us to know tonight, salvation is by faith. Faith in the living God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And in hell, everything is sight. And that just leads us to Hebrews chapter 11. I want to turn there to one of my favorite passages. Let's just turn there and read Hebrews chapter 11, the chapter that teaches us about faith, about the value of faith, that it's impossible to please God without it. In chapter 11, verse 7, it speaks here about Noah. It says here, by faith. This is by faith. Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Well, that's good, brothers and sisters. Noah hadn't seen. He'd never seen a raindrop. He'd never seen rain. Noah had never seen the windows of heaven. Didn't even know about them. He'd never seen the fountains of the deep. He didn't even know about them. He'd never seen a flood. But Noah was warned of God. And by faith, without sight, Noah moved with fear. Noah, by faith, moved with fear. Fear from just a warning, not from sight. He didn't have to see it. And Noah moved with tremendous fear. It says here, he built an ark. Took on a 120-year project. Consumed his life here on this earth. Because he believed God. He believed the warning of God by faith. And brothers and sisters, that's exactly where we come this evening. That's where we're at tonight. We've never seen hell. We've never seen the lake of fire. We've never felt the torment. We've never seen the great white throne. Earth is still here. It still has something to offer us. Our flesh is still here. We still have things the flesh wants to offer us. And I tell you, but we've been warned of God of things not seen as yet. And it's time for us to move with fear, to put down the things this earth has to offer, to put down the things that the flesh has to offer that will bring us to destruction, to put those things down and believe God, because judgment is coming. Eternal judgment. Today is the day of salvation. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. I want to turn now to Revelation chapter 19. I want to read just a few passages here. Revelation chapter 19. Let's just look here at verses 19 and 20. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Think of it. They were cast alive, alive forevermore, with no mercy in this place. We haven't seen this yet. We're just being warned of God here. Let's have faith to move with fear. Look at chapter 20, verse 10. It says here that the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Is that the team we want to join? They bring temptations to us in this life. Do we want to yield to this kind of hope for the future? Let's make our choices in light of eternity. There is no way out of that place. I want to continue reading here. Verse 11, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. We haven't seen these things, but we're being warned of God. Let's continue on here in Revelation 21. Let's look at verse 5. I want to begin reading here on verse 5. I believe in verse 5 that this is God speaking here. I don't know if it's God the Father or Jesus Christ the Son, but I know it's He that sitteth upon the throne. And we can write this thing down. And He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. You know, we have a saying today, don't we, that if something's really true and we want to bring it home, we say, you can write that one down. Well, I'll just tell you tonight, you can write this one down. That's the commandment from Him that sitteth upon the throne. Write, for these things are true and faithful. And He said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. May we thirst tonight for that fountain. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And look at this. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. This is the invitation from him that sitteth upon the throne to every one of us here tonight, that he will be our God, and we shall be His Son. What a beautiful invitation. And a little later in the next chapter we read, the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely. You know, we used to sing a song that said something like this. Ye poor wandering sinners, come, hear His sweet voice. Come, make of Him, of Jesus Christ, make of Him ever your most blessed choice. Come wretched, come starving, come just as you be. While streams of salvation are flowing so free. Those streams flow on this side of eternity. They're flowing to each of us tonight. They're flowing to a lost and a dying world. Don't we want to take the gospel to them? Streams of salvation are flowing so free. Ye poor wandering sinners, why will you not come? It's you He bids welcome. He bids you come home. This is the invitation from Him that sitteth upon the throne. But let's keep reading here. In verse 8, it says, But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The righteousness of God demands it for those who turn away from the Lord Jesus Christ and the sacrifice, the blood of our Lord that He shed for us. I looked at verse 8 and, you know, I was just thinking, the fearful and the unbelieving. You know, that doesn't sound quite as serious, does it, as murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers. But even the fearful and the unbelieving, who are they? And I don't know who they are, but I know this. It's anyone who allows anything to keep them from giving their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. They will have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, no matter how morally good they might declare their life to be. I have a few more scriptures that I would like to touch this evening as part of the warning from the scriptures. Brothers and sisters, do you realize how many scriptures speak of judgment, the judgment of God that comes on seemingly good people? We know that it lands on the murderers and the liars and the sorcerers and that whole list there. But there are scriptures that need to get our attention. It lands on religious people. Seemingly good people who are not murderers and liars. You know, the Pharisees, Jesus addressed them, and they were missionaries. Jesus acknowledged that. He said, you compass land and sea.
to make one proselyte. But he said, you make him twofold more a child of hell than yourself. And I just want you to know what Jesus is saying to the Pharisees there is that you are going to hell. That's what he's saying. You compass land and sea to make a proselyte and you make him twofold more a child of hell than yourself. In other words, that's what you are. In Matthew chapter 7, maybe we'll just turn back to read a couple of these passages, a couple verses here in verse 22 and 23 of Matthew 7. It says, many will say to me in that day, and these aren't the adulterers and the sorcerers and all this list here, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name have done many wonderful works. These people were making a claim on some good works here, but I believe they had sin in their life. Jesus calls them workers of iniquity. It says here in verse 23, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. That's a sobering judgment. That only means one thing. It means that all the things we've been reading about here. In Matthew 22, if we want to just turn to a couple of these, this is very sobering to me. This is the parable of the marriage feast. And I don't think I'm going to read all of this for the sake of time. But I want you to just, we want to at least draw a little lesson here of what I believe the Lord was trying to teach. This is the marriage feast. Bring them in. Call them in from the highways and byways. It says here in verse 9, go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Now, I don't know who this man is that was at the wedding feast without a wedding garment. And I'm sure that he just didn't have the righteousness of Christ. I'm sure he wasn't clothed that way. But this man was someone who had sin in his life. And I want to bring a little sobering message here. This is someone who responded to the invitation to come. When his servants went out into the highways and gathered them in as many as they would, this man said, I will come. He came. He heard. But there was something. In his life, there was some sin, a serious sin. I don't know what it was, but it should be a warning to us. And the Lord knows the hearts. And this man knew that he was guilty. It says he was speechless. He didn't have anything to say. May this be a warning to us this evening. I don't think this was a bad person, but he was making wrong choices. And he knew it. He was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness, the blackness of darkness forever. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. This man had responded to the invitation. Let's just turn on over here to Matthew 25. I just want to read a few verses here, starting in verse 41. And I'm not sure who all these people are here, but I just want to look that there is judgment. There are consequences. Then said he unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. You know, we saw that the beast and the false prophet were cast into the lake of fire. We saw that the devil was cast there where the beast and the false prophet are. That place was prepared for him. I want to tell you tonight, it was never intended that man would go there. We don't need to go there. We can turn away from ourselves, from our sin, from what this life has to offer us, and give our life to the Lord Jesus Christ. We can do that. This place was prepared for the devil and his angels. God says here, for I was hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. And then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee, you know, this way? Verse 45, then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Let's pay attention to the commandments of God that we could be a faithful people, peculiar unto Himself, a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. We can be a part of that number. I want to look at one more passage of Scripture, and it's also here in chapter 25. This is the story of the 10 virgins. And I just want to say, I believe this parable is teaching salvation. I believe that's what this is about. To me, nothing else fits. I mean, since when do Christians not share the oil in their lamp with someone in need? It's when it represents salvation. We cannot share, we can't give part of our salvation to save someone else. Then their salvation would be from us. And it doesn't come from us. We can lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that's the teaching here. I want to read verses 1 through 4 here. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamp and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they slumbered and slept. I want you to notice something here, that the wise and the foolish were all together. And I'm going to say that they're just like us here tonight. There may be wise and foolish, all mixed in here tonight. God knows the heart. We're all together. And if the Lord would return tonight, if the bridegroom would come tonight, I just want to tell you, the foolish that are here this evening are not going to be saved just because you're among the wise. That's the teaching, I believe, of this parable. You'll not be accepted just because you're in the right place or a seemingly good person. Every person needs the Lord. When the Lord is in someone else's heart, that does not cover your heart. Every person needs the Lord. Let's keep reading here. In verse 5, 6, and at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. Go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they slept, while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. There's a teaching here that's very consistent with the Lord Jesus Christ concerning salvation. There is a time where the door is shut. The door of opportunity is closed. And it will never open again. If we keep reading here, afterward came also the other virgins saying, Lord, Lord, open to us this door. Open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. The door was shut. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Can we take this warning from the Lord Jesus Christ? They that were ready went in with the bridegroom to the marriage. We can be among that number. Let's make our choices in light of eternity. Making choices in light of eternity, this is wisdom. You remember we read in Luke 16, it was told the rich man that thou in thy lifetime, you know, that's us. That's where we're at. We are in our lifetime. It's our little parenthesis where we live. But now, Abraham said to the rich man, and that now there, that now refers to all eternity. He's comparing here, thou in thy lifetime with all eternity. but now. The door is shut. No mercy in hell now. All eternity. Comparing these two, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 speaks of our light affliction, which is but for a moment. That's referring to us in our lifetime. Our whole lifetime. Just a moment. That's all it is compared to all eternity. You know, we can take anything for a moment, can't we? But I tell you, you can't take anything for all eternity. But you will. Because the door is shut. Because there's no mercy in hell. Let's make our choices in light of eternity. Today is the day of salvation. In Revelation chapter 10, it speaks of a mighty angel. I get chills sometimes when I read about what's going to happen. You know, we haven't seen it yet, but we're being warned of God, and there's a mighty angel comes down from heaven. And I want to remind us, God knows all things. He knows everything. He didn't put it all in this book. We couldn't handle it, but He gave us this. Someday, there's a mighty angel going to come down from heaven, and He's going to plant His foot, one of them on the land and the other on the sea. And this mighty angel is going to cry with a loud voice, it says, as when a lion roareth. And when he cried with this loud voice, seven thunders uttered their voices. And this mighty angel raised his hand to heaven with one foot on the land and one foot on the sea. He raised his hand to heaven and he cried out. Do you know what he said? He said, time shall be no more. There shall be no more time. No more opportunity. The door is shut. God is giving us this little warning, big warning from heaven. That day is coming. Today is the day of salvation. Today, if we will hear His voice, harden not your heart. I tell you tonight, there's no chance that God is wrong. There is no chance that the things that we've been reading are not going to happen. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. What did God say? Let God be true, and every man a liar. I'm going to close with Hebrews chapter 10. It says there, I'm just going to quote it to you. It says, for if we sin willfully after this, if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. But something remains, and it tells you what it is. But a certain fearful, looking for of judgment and fiery indignation. Think of it. Fiery indignation. Fiery vengeance. The flames of hell, I want to tell us again tonight, the flames of hell are the indignation of God, the fiery indignation of God upon those who turn away from the Lord Jesus Christ and the offered terms of mercy for all eternity. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Who's the Spirit? It's the Holy Spirit. It's that still small voice that's here tonight that I believe is speaking in someone's heart. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Who's the Bride? It's the saints of all the ages. It's the people of God. It's those who have responded. That's who it is. So the Spirit, that still small voice, is saying, come. The Bride, the saints of all the ages, say, come. Those who have been there, say, come. Brother Leonard says, come. Brother Allen says, come. Your parents say, come. The martyrs say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the waters of life freely for all eternity.
May God have His way this evening. May no one leave this place not covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not sight, but faith in Him. Could we open our hymn books to 923?